Blog Talk Radio.
Listen to more about the Eagles. Gee, didn't you have information overload since Sunday evening? Don't you have that yet? It's coming out your ears. The most embarrassing loss of the season by any NFL team is now owned by us, Eagles fans. Wow. What a game. Did you go? Were you there? Yours truly was, which is probably the reason why we lost, because I think every Eagles game I've gone to, they've lost. That's not true. There was one sometime during the 1980s. I think they pulled it out. Anyway, wow, what a bad game we played. Started off great. Then it quickly went sour. That is often a sign of bad game coaching. But you know that from whatever article you read or whatever TV clip you watched or whatever YouTube video you watched or whatever you heard on coming out on the air over the radio, they were all probably saying the same thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on the positive, and I invite your call. If you really want to open up the show and talk about something, if you have a point to make, or you want to underline as the real reason for what's going on with our guys, call in. We got to know. 657-383-1614. 657-383-1614. And as you know, this is Tampa Delphia Talks Eagles. I'm Tampa Delphia Paul. Phoner. Founder, owner. Mealy mouth, mush mouth. Been doing this since 1994, and we are in two places if you would like to join us sometime and hang out with some really great sports guys. We're at Mugs in Clearwater, which is on Icott Boulevard, right at 58th Street in Elmerton. And also we are at Mugs and Jugs in Brandon, just against the front of the Brandon Mall in Brandon, Florida. Southeast bedroom community to Tampa. Our show is brought to you by two guys, which we will get into during our station breaks. But I want to tell you about Tampa Delphia. We are just a bunch of diehards that are transplanted, and we still, to this day, support the team. Follow it, cheer for it, watch it. We do that with Sixers playoff games, Phillies playoff games, Flyers playoff games, and all the Eagles games. Although the games that are on 8 o'clock at night don't get that much action. We'll tell you that. And there's a reason for that. A lot of people have to work. They have to get sleep. They have to wake up. And they have to be fresh in the morning for their jobs. They can't be stumbling around because they stayed up to watch a late ball game that really didn't matter from a team that couldn't live up to expectations. From training camp, we were playoff bound. Then we got to be maybe Super Bowl. We got DeSean Jackson. We got Malik Jackson. We've got five other Jacksons. We got. And you know what we got? Nada. Zilch. Ungats, as we say in Italian. We got ungats, which is a body part on men that females don't have. Boy. I'm going to try and keep it really positive. And there are some positive things to take a look at. There's enough blame to go around, right? Everybody wants to blame. They got reasons to blame, but the thing that impressed me the most, I'm not always out to fry the guy that made a mistake because, hell, he's human. Some give the other team credit for having some good players and also making some good plays and also getting a little bit of a break, you know? They can get that the same way we can get that, okay? So I'm not after the guy too much. I look at the bigger picture. I look at the squads. I look at the overall summary of the defense, summary of the offense, you know, big picture, bottom line stuff, and also the coaching stuff, because it all rolls down from Doug. It starts with Howie, but it rolls down through Doug. And I was very, very surprised when I flipped on YouTube, which is one of my main sources, because I don't have any friends on the team. I don't have any inside sources. I don't do interviews, and I don't have any guys meeting me for lunch giving me some hastily scribbled notes written in invisible ink, or perhaps some shadowy hallway where whispers are exchanged. That doesn't happen. The big thing is, of course, the Eagles choked. They tried to do a lot of things, and I'm not sure that they could. After the game, I watched some YouTube clips for some quick analysis, right? And what I try to do is get a bead on, from the top down, where did it go wrong, right? Where did it go wrong? And the big thing, of course, is, the big thing is that Doug blew the game. And Doug's press conferences are so spun to distract, veer off into another area of conversation, take him out of harm's way. He doesn't want to put the blame on anybody, but in this case, this past game, he had to blame somebody, right? He had to blame somebody. And he was blaming the players, saying that they didn't execute. They didn't execute. They didn't execute. We're inconsistent. No kidding, Doug. You've been that way for like half a season. So what's going on? It all starts with you. You and Howie got these players. You manage the players. You direct the players. You set their expectations, and you gauge their performance. And if you can't motivate, inspire, or lead these guys, you're not going to do it with a couple of polite words in the locker room. But they're not playing. They're not playing up to their potential. And the game management is really the problem. Doug is blaming all of the players and their execution, but the fact is that he's calling a lousy game. He's not admitting it. Never once did he say, I blew the call. It was a bad call that I put in, and it cost us, you know, we had to turn the ball over. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. He says, well, I've got the men in position. They're not making the play. Hey, you know, you don't – whether you have the men in position or not is moot. It's moot because the play didn't work. Now, I'm not talking about the defensive guys. I'm talking about the offensive guys. The play did not work. You're calling long ball. Carson Wentz threw the ball, and it went downfield, and it hit Zach Ertz in the hands, and it hit the turf. He didn't catch it. You see, you blame the player. But it was a 30-yard pass. So why don't you shorten these things and keep getting first downs, like we mentioned last week, and go for points. Go for yards, 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 yards. First, 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 first. And that was a big, big flaw. Seth Joyner, if you listen to NBC Sports, give those guys a free plug. If you listen to NBC Sports, they've got a crew consisting of Michael Barkan, Brandon Brooks, Ray Dinner, and Seth Joyner. Four good football minds, right? Seth came out and blasted the Eagles organization and blasted Doug Peterson. He said, hey, man, you're rushing four guys and you're sitting back in the zone. We started out with zone and we were getting burned. That tall wide receiver just smoked Darby. Then he smoked Mills when they moved Jalen Mills or General Mills over to the other side. And the general got cooked too. Then what do? Then you go to man. Well, they went to man because zone didn't work. They went to man, so they changed their scheme. But for crying out loud, we said we were going to keep it positive. Jason Kelce had a good game. He snapped every ball just the right way. That's pretty good. There were some good things that came out of this game, but one of them, of course, is Nelson Agholor had some good catches, and he has some good catches. So I'm glad for Nelson, the running back. Sanders, he had almost 5 yards average per carry. 5 yards. Why do you keep using him? Why did you keep using him? Why do you let them get 5, 6, 7 yards, and then you throw a pass, which didn't work. And then you throw another pass, which didn't work, and then we got a punt. What the hell, Doug? What the hell? You're missing the obvious, man. You're not seeing it. You faced the second worst run defense in the NFL on Sunday, and you didn't run. What's wrong with you? Somebody smacked Doug Peterson in the back of the head. Give him a slap like they do on NCIS. Come on. Sanders is good. And Jeffrey has come around again. He's not in his 2017 best, but he's our best right now. And, you know, we're not the team that we were. So, Doug, you know who has to work harder to compensate for that? You do, my man. You've got to come up with the plans and the schemes to be able to maximize what you've got with these guys. You know, when you're driving a car that's just about out of gas, you don't take the longest route to get to where you got to go. You study the map. You take a look at what's going to get you there with the most amount of gas left in the tank, or the amount of gas that you're going to use the least. And then you go there and you focus on that route. Doug, you're not doing that. You are not doing that. But we're keeping it positive. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it over to you. And I want to hear what your comment is, positive or negative. 657-383-1614. And I made my positive comments. I made my positive comments. Nobody is free from blame on this game. Nobody. Jeff Lurie has to see what's going on. He's got to be concerned. One writer today that I read, I caught up with for a little bit. I don't do a whole lot of newspaper reading, I will tell you that, or internet reading in that way. I don't do a lot of that. But somebody came out and said, we need to make some changes, and Doug needs to change out some of his staff. He's got guys in there that just aren't carrying their weight. They're not qualified to be in those jobs. Does he miss Frank Reich? Yeah, he does. We do. I mean, we've established that already. But Frank Reich and John DeFilippo helped get the Eagles over the hump on that Super Bowl year. And Flip is gone now, too. They had the chance to bring him back. They didn't want to. They were kind of Well, we miss Frank Reich. So what do? We take our wide receivers coach and we elevate him into an OC. Guy's not going to get the job by the end of the season. He's not going to get the job probably by the end of next season. He's too young, too new, too green. He didn't serve enough apprenticeship as a position coach. Maybe he did. I'm not a pro insider. The only time I've been around the football teams up close is a training camp. I don't mingle, right? I don't work there. But I think a lot of people would agree with that, that he's still – he doesn't know enough yet to be in that high a position, that high up on the ladder. He might be a great guy. He might be a great wide receivers coach, you know? But as an OC, it ain't working. And Doug may have been an average quarterback, and he may have done a good job that year with the Super Bowl. But let me tell you what, everybody's anxious to play the Eagles. They're licking their chops. We've become a garbage team, like I said last week. Was I surprised by the loss of Miami? No, I was not. We have four games left. Oh, Paul, we control our destiny. Believe it or not, we could still win this thing. Wrong. Nine wins will not win it. And that's all you got left, man, are four games. Nine games will not win the division. You need 10. If nine takes it, you might as well count yourself out after the first playoff game. But you're not going to have home field advantage. You're not going to get wild card either. I think we're out of the race on that. We're tied with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for wins and losses. Ooh, that was a cheap shot. Did that get the message home? Well, let me tell you. Other teams that we have on our schedule are also licking their chops, looking at us, and saying, we could do that to Philly, too. And I'm thinking about the Redskins. The Redskins are not the same team that they were when we played them this opening of the season in September. They've gotten some guys, they've done some things, and they've changed. They've gotten their game a little bit more together. And I'm sure that they want to get us back on the field again. I honestly do not have a lot of confidence that we're going to beat the Redskins. We got the games out of our way, and here's what I'm saying. Last week I said you always win a game you should lose, and you always lose a game you should win. And we won. We beat Green Bay in Green Bay, and we beat Buffalo in Buffalo, but where'd we lose our game? I thought it was Miami. I thought Miami was a trap game. A lot of my friends gave me a lot of grief. Still are. Oh, it wasn't a trap. Yeah, trap is when you walk in thinking you got the game wrapped up. You know, and we're celebrating after we score. It was 14-0, right? We're celebrating after our second touchdown like we've got the game all wrapped up. Well, you know what? The trap is you got suckered. You were suckered. The trap is you celebrated too soon. These guys saw it and took it to you. So we've got another trap game ahead. And I think it's the Skins. Dallas, when we play Dallas, I think it's where it's going to go south. I think they're probably going to take it to us that game too. So out of four games left, I only see two wins. And those are both against the Giants. And even then, that might happen. We may split. Then what? We win one out of three. Show me that you can win one game before you tell me you're going to take all four. And that's where my head's at. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to be compiling a list of all our guys over 30, and I'm going to be compiling a list of all our players ranked by salary, the first top 10, 12, 15 guys. And that's going to be my discard list. They're going to be the guys going bye-bye. We got to get kids. We got to rebuild. We've got to get Howie Roseman some help, just like we did with Joe Douglas. We got to get Peterson some help. He's got to knock out his OC. He's got to knock out his receivers coach, and he's got to knock out his quarterbacks coach. I absolutely agree with that writer on that one. Carson Wentz, is he our problem? To an extent, he's still throwing crazy passes where maybe he's seeing ghosts. You know, maybe he's got this clairvoyant connection or something, and he's things are materializing for him on the field that only he can see. I'm not quite sure on that, but something's going on there. And Carson, while he still has that, he's still pressing too hard trying to win the game by himself. You're only turning yourself into an average and mediocre quarterback. Use more of your smarts. I know it's a fast game, and I know I'm not back there, and I know I never was an NFL quarterback, and I know what the hell, you know, what do I know about all of this because I never did it. Well, I'm the same as every other guy that is out there doing this. and I'm just looking at the bigger picture. We are without callers. We are without callers. I know I have listeners. I know that there's people out there, but we don't have callers. And you're probably burned out on all this too. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're saying that mathematically it's still possible to do this and that. Yeah, it's mathematically possible to do many things, but that's theory. Everything works in theory. Give me reality. Reality is one simple word. So something's wrong with our defense too. Nobody's talking about that. But I was at the game and I was dumbstruck. I saw every time Miami had the ball, they drove for a TD. Well, is that so bad? Yeah. The first drive was 84 yards against a tough, tight Philly defense. The second drive was for 75 yards. The third drive was for another 75 yards. The fourth drive was for 61 yards. And the last drive was for 96 yards. Come on, folks. What's going on? What's going on? The quarterback that picked them apart is the same guy that beat us in Tampa last year. You know that. That Fitzpatrick guy. I don't know. But there's something up. Jim Schwartz doesn't talk to the media, but every Thursday, Doug Peterson allows his assistant coaches to get in front of the microphones. And we'll see what Schwartz has to say this week, because Jim is out there when they win. But I think Jim has probably got as much backbone as anybody, and he'll take your questions. Doug Peterson doesn't have to worry about his job, but I think everybody else has got to worry about their job, with the exception of the players that they just re-signed. They did two contracts so far this year, so those guys are staying. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of guys that have got to be saying, holy shoot, I'm going to be out of the NFL, because if I get cut from a garbage team like the Eagles, nobody's going to want me. That's not going to happen. And a lot of these guys don't know Chip Kelly. They don't know Andy Reid. So don't look for a quick landing at those places. I don't know. The Eagles guys are the Eagles players are just distracted. I don't know why they think they can come back and just snap their fingers and win. You know, they worked damn hard to win that Super Bowl that year. I mean, these guys, I remember very well what I was reading, what I was hearing, what I was seeing about the Eagles having to win and gut out those games, and what a hard road it was to do what they did, and how tough it was to win week after week, pull these games out. I don't know why these guys now think they can snap their fingers and get a win. A lot of teams are pulling trick plays on Philadelphia. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but we had a flea flicker that was used against the Eagles by the Seahawks. And we had that strange formation where the quarterback threw to the punter right on Sunday. And a lot of teams are using gadget plays on us. And Doug said, yeah, they're trick plays. That's why they're called trick plays. And we're taught to look for them and this and that and this and that and this and that. Well, Doug, did you call a timeout to maybe settle it in and get the guys to think about that? No. We're trained to look for that. We're okay. Well, what would be the downside, Doug, to you calling the timeout? Well, like I said, we're trained to look for it, so we should be able to adjust. Well, Doug, here's the question. What's the downside to you calling a timeout before you let them snap the ball? And Doug had to say, there is no downside. In other words, they're poking him with laser shots, and Doug can't wiggle out. And that's good. That's good. New England used a TD pass from a back on us, and that was another trick play that worked rather well. So Doug, maybe they're trained to see them, but in all three cases that I just mentioned, all three of those trick plays worked against us, which is another reason why teams are saying I want to play Philadelphia, because we could get away with a lot of stuff. I hope Howie Roseman has an extraordinary head on his shoulders for this coming draft. I hope he's got a clothesline hung up, you know, and has it stretched across from wall to wall with the name of eligible players coming off contracts, kids coming out of college, and other types of free agents that he can get his hands on to bring into this team and let them compete. And he's got to do it with, I've asked you this before, to let me know what you think is the most area of need, whether it's wide receivers, offensive line, defensive backs, what. But I think that all three that I just mentioned right there, the lines are okay. I mean, we've got some flexibilities there, but not at wide receiver. We're definitely out of gas. Running back, I think we got to look at that too. I think only half the guys we got are keepers. Defensive backs or defensive secondary. Malcolm's getting long in the tooth, man. Malcolm Jenkins, he's getting up there. Jason Kelsey's getting up there. That's why you got to look at your roster from age point of view as well as from a contracts point of view. You know, what guys are you going to lose because of money? Our cornerbacks or defensive backs, you know, being too short is just as bad as being too slow. It's the old cliche. You can't coach speed. You can't coach height. You can't coach heart. And our guys go in for the fight, but we came out short. Doug says how angry they are, how embarrassed they are, and how nasty this loss is for them. But that's just cheap talk. It might be true. It probably is. But it's still just talk. Next game is Monday night. And I might tune it in. And then I'm going to look for a source that can give me a full field camera view. In Miami at the game, I sat in the upper section in the corner of the end zone. And I'll tell you what, that stadium is gorgeous, and I doubt there's a bad seat in the house. We could see every single thing happening on the field, regardless of where it was on the field, from our vantage point. And we had some of the cheapest seats in the stadium. So what this means to me is that I was able to see the formations of the offenses and defenses. I could see where they doubled up. They went heavy on one side. I could see where the gaps were. I could see the blocking schemes. I could see the coverage schemes. I mean, it was great. And that's what you get during film analysis, because that's typically what you see is 11 on 11. You don't see, you know, one on two or, you know, three guys crowding two. You don't see that. Doug has to rely on his wits, mismatch, if he doesn't have the speed anymore because his team is old, or if he just doesn't have the talent or the size. Mismatches and gadgets are going to have to do it, and that's all on coaching, and Doug is going to have to win with that. Can he do it? I don't know anymore. I don't know. I am not being negative toward my team. I am being realistic about this season. And maybe it's a different story next year. But I want to talk to you because we overran our first break. So I'm going to give you two quick ones here. If you're looking for some entertainment for one of your affairs, if you're looking for a guitarist or a singer or a utility guy for a group, Mike Wacock is a Philadelphia guy, transplant, that played with bands in Nashville. He's got a lot of experience. He's a young guy, though, and he's a guitarist. And I suggest to give Mike Wayock a call. That's W-A-Y-O-C-K, Wayock. And his number is 610-331-0554. Again, 610-331-0554. Mike is a talent for us down here now, and he's a Tampa Delphia guy, along with the guy I've been talking about all season, Cortland Posey. Cortland is at 267-978-2124. And Cortland owns Antipesto Bug Killers. He will come in, provide inspections, give you certifications. He'll mitigate any damage. And in other words, if you have pests, he'll get rid of them. And he's got various specials that he runs and has offered to our Tampa Delphia family down here in Tampa, Florida. But I'm sure if you want to hire him, he'll drive back up to Jersey if you're listening. His number is 267-978-2124. Call Cortland at Antipesto Bug Killers. Good guy. Great family. Real diehard South Philly Paisan. So, you know, you gotta help these guys. If you need a service, if you need what they do, that's pretty good, I think. We're going to take a look at the stats just for a little bit. I don't want to go to offense first. I want to do defense first because there's something I want to say here. Our leading tackler is Rodney McLeod. Rodney's got he's got 61 combined tackles, which is a combination of, you know, like solo tackles and being an assist on that, total 61. Jenkins is right behind him, and then you've got Nate Gary, and it's 59 and 55 respectively. For sacks, Jenkins and Gary are up there, but our big beast on sacks is Brandon Graham. And as you know, he's a linebacker. And after him, guess who you have? Dirk Barnett on the line. Dirk Barnett starting to blossom this season, which I've been waiting to see. Dirk Barnett and Fletcher Cox. Cox has 3.5, Barnett has 4.5. And these guys are just going to they're just going to get better if Fletcher can survive another season with us. No reason why he can't, but it's a shame. It's a shame that he had to lose the 2018 and 2019 seasons while the Eagles team wandered around in the darkness, not quite sure where they were going or what they were doing. I have to watch my monitor board for callers, and I can tell you that for returns on whether it's a punt or a kick, it's a little bit different in our world. Darren Sproles is out, done, finished. He was our top guy. For punts, right now it's Boston Scott. And he's averaging 7.2 yards a return on punts. So Boston Scott is our guy. He's had 6 returns. And on kicks, our main guy is Miles Sanders. That surprised me. His average is 22.4 yards on a return on a kick, you know, like a kick return. So he might be coming out of the end zone to get that because typically they catch it around the 20, 25-yard line. And after that, Boston Scott again. Corey Clement is listed on both, but I haven't heard his name for at least 2 or 3 weeks at this point. I know Corey got injured. I'm not quite sure about what, but I heard he's working very hard toward his recovery and keeping a great attitude. And I'm a fan. I wish him well. I hope that Corey can come back to the NFL and contribute next year. I would like nothing better, really, than that. For receiving, but I want to go back to defense. Let's talk Do they give interceptions? Here we go. Interception statistics. Our top interceptor is linebacker Gary. He intercepted twice. Took one in for a TD. Longest one was 51 yards, typically averaging 25 and a half yards. So he's the main man in the middle of the field for us. Our second leading interceptor is, actually both these guys have the same numbers, Rodney McLeod and Ronald Darby. Rodney and Ron Old. They both almost have identical numbers too. In terms of their yards per, on the interception, 15 and 14.6. So, but after that, what happened to Sidney Jones? Where'd he go? Wow, it's really something that we've got these guys, and like JJ, is it JJ or CC or Sega Whiteside? He was drafted fairly high up. He hasn't been visible very much. And Sidney Jones has been invisible. We've got these high draft picks that are just not playing. It's a horror show of performance to recognize that we've been squandering our opportunities to improve our team. And you can see, obviously, where we need the help. But anyway, let's continue with stats because we have to do the offense. Which is always so good. Here we are with receiving stats. Top receiver is Zach Ertz, followed by Jeffrey Nagelor. And the longest average is J.J. Arcega, 16.8 yards. That's his yards per reception. He's only caught six balls. That's it. But he's got 101 yards on that. As long as it was a 30-yard grab. And he's only got one TD, but they're not playing him. And I know that Greg Ward has seven receptions for 45 yards. Right? He's averaging 6.4 yards per reception. But that's in line with Carson Wentz's numbers. And for rushing, Miles Sanders is still in second place behind Jordan Howard, but they're catching up. It's only just a few clicks apart, actually. I'm looking at J.J. I'm wondering why his numbers aren't moving. They're not playing him. And the Eagles as a team are not – I mean, you know that we're bottom third now, right? You did figure that out. Yeah, we're in the final 10 teams. The bottom 10 teams, I should say. What amazes me is the... I'm surprised by the amount of success we've had converting third downs. Our total offensive yards are the same as everybody else in the NFL. We're at 4,100 yards. Total offense so far this season. Our opponents are 4,000. So just minimal difference. We have about a 5.1 average on offense, and our opponents have 5.5. So we're not getting as much success out there. But here's the deal. We've run 803 plays on offense. That has given us 1,425 yards rushing. Okay. We ran 333 yards to get those 1,425. We rushed 333 times to get those 1,425 yards for a 4.3 average, which is just the same as our combined opponents who have not been all that fabulous this year. Our passing yards, we have 2,683 yards passing, which is approximately almost double what the rushing numbers are. We've attempted 440 passes. We've completed 274. We were picked off eight times. and our passing average is 6.5 yards. So why, Doug, are you calling for the long ball? Why are you doing that? We've been sacked 34 times. We're 17 out of 18 on field goals, which is damn good, right? With 32 touchdowns. Our time of possession is more than 30 minutes, which is good. But our turnover ratio is a minus 5, which means that we have given up the ball 5 times more than we've gotten the ball. It's the same statistics as they keep in hockey. I don't know, folks. It's going to be tough to grind through the rest of the season with a lot of enthusiasm, right? Believe it or not, we're almost at the end of our time. I didn't think I thought I was going to be off the air in 5 or 10 minutes tonight. And I was jokingly mentioning that to a lot of my friends today that, hey, I'm not going to be on tonight because there's nothing to talk about. I'm going to keep it positive, so I'll be off the air in 2 minutes. But here we go. Just from the way I saw it, because I was there, I can tell you that nobody's more disappointed in this year's team, possibly, than I am. I was very sky high and sold on the fact that we were going to have a successful season this year. Didn't work out. That's sports, that's football. I don't know if we'll ever get back to where we were. By the way, did you know that former Eagles coach Ron Rivera was cut as head coach from the Carolina Panthers today? He's fired. Think about him coming back to Philly. Where would he fit in? Maybe if we had to replace Jim Schwartz? Because our coaches are fighting for their jobs, too. You realize that, right? He was our linebackers coach under Andy Reid. And also, we cut Matt Collins today. I don't know if you knew that, but he's gone. So there is no more Matt Collins that you'll see out on the field. We need wide receivers, but Matt Collins? Yeah. And there was another event today, too. Oh, Nick Foles is benched. Nick Foles misses Frank Reich as well, too. The same way that Carson Wentz does and the same way that Doug Peterson does. Frank was a – first thing he did when he went to Indianapolis was to get him in the playoffs. And I don't know that anybody in Philadelphia had that focus after Frank left. We were just too bloated with Super Bowl swagger to really, really take stock of where we were at and where we needed to go, because it's been straight downhill ever since, I'll tell you that. So that's it. I'm going to wind out, close out the show. I want to thank you for tuning in, because you do. And I appreciate your support. I appreciate you at Tampa Delphia. Please join us at Mugs or Mugs and Jugs. And go to Tampa Delphia Eagles on Facebook, and you'll find out a lot about us and our people. Thank you for listening. Let's stay positive. Let's stay grounded and focused. It's only a sport. It's just designed to be entertainment. Please don't make it the reason why you wake up in the morning or the reason why you're breathing air. It's not that important in the scheme of things. So I hope you well. Hope you stay well till next time when we get together. And go Eagles.